I want to start off a little different today. I first want to say that I'm not a preacher, but I love you. And I've prayed and you've prayed. And I expect Jesus Christ to do something here in this place today. I expect it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is grab the hand of someone next to you. And here's what I want you to pray for. I don't believe there's anyone in this place that has come that doesn't have some need, including me. But God is capable, and we're going to see in His Word today He's capable. So I want you to pray for each other on either side. So pray for each other. Pray for your mates. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for our president and our country. Good Lord knows we need that. Prayer answers. God answers prayer. And we need to do more of it. I need to do more of it. But I plead with Jesus Christ this morning to speak through me, and that it's not me, that it's Him. And you know what? I've claimed that privilege to be able to do this, and it is a privilege, and I know He's going to do it. So what I want you to do is to pray. Did you come here with problems? Let me name a few. Do you have problems with your children? Do you have problems with your marriage? Have you never trusted Jesus Christ? Today's the time. 25 years ago, I trusted Him and He changed my life. If you don't like me now, you would have hated me then. Just ask my wife. And He's in the business of changing lives today. And He will. Every need that you have today, He's capable of changing. Oh, if I could only do it for you, I would. But He can and He will. So I want you to listen to this prayer, which is by Brian Duncan. It's a wonderful prayer in song. And I want you to pray for each one on either side. Pray for your needs. Pray for your schooling, whatever it might be. Young folks, pray that you can withstand the wiles of the devil in school, and He'll make it possible. Just listen to the words. It's a wonderful prayer.
Strange. gentle way. Come in your own gentle way.
Father, you tell us in your word that you inhabit the praises and prayers of your people. They've prayed, Father. Will you meet the need of each and every one that's here today? Will your Holy Spirit pervade into the souls of people today and change lives, that we might glorify you, Father, in a special way? That this may be a house of fidelity and faithfulness to God's word, a repository of truth. Now, Father, I just call upon you today, believing that you'll do what I can't do. Help me to share your message today, that we can leave this place seeing changed lives. That you'll be glorified and worshiped in a very special way, and that we can go out and share that with others that need to know the gospel message in a sick and tired world. Now, Father, I ask that I would be removed from this, and you would step behind the pulpit. And, Father, I ask these things in the name that's above all names, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Anointed One, our Savior. Help us to become your Lord today, Father, in all things in our lives. And we'd be sure to give you that praise. Amen. I have to admit I'm a little emotional. And I guess I should be. I don't take preaching God's word lightly. But if you looked in your bulletin, you saw that the name of the theme of the preaching today would be Amazing Love, Amazing Grace, Amazing Power, and Amazing Abundance. And you know, it never ceases to amaze me what God can do when you become yielded to His Spirit. He can give you love. He gives you grace every single day. He gives you power. We don't call upon Him. It says, if you ask not, you receive not. So we need to ask in His name. And abundance is what comes, what joy and abundance. I believe that the Christian life should be a life of excitement. I'm excited to be alive. You know why? And here's what I want you to focus on today. We hear a lot about the Alpha and the Omega. And that's good. God said it. But there's a big place in between here and there. And that's the Greek word, pyrokairos, which means in the middle, in season, temporary, occurring now. So follow me. Is that right? If we can claim He's the Alpha and we claim He's the Omega, why can't we claim Him for where we really need Him, in the middle? We can. So focus on that today. Don't just focus. You know, if we've named Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our eternity is sealed in heaven forever. Amen? Okay. Another thing that you might want to focus on, we do a threefold service here, and I think it's pertinent to the scripture we're going to study. We talk about the justification. We can only be justified by Jesus Christ. We don't stand a hope. If you think you can do it on your own, you're in terrible trouble. We become justified through Jesus. He makes it possible. 25 years ago, He changed my life. That's what He did, not what I did. And then we're sanctified, which means a cleansing. And He does that. But we need that, not once a day, dozens of times a day. We need to get back to God's Word and claim the promises that we know. And then the last part is glorification. someday we're going to all be glorified and be just like Jesus. And I say, amen, I'm ready for that day. So keep focused on those things. Now, if you would be kind enough to open up to, we're going to look at two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6, if you would open there, 1 through 10. Definitely wrong. Something wrong with this watch. It says 7:10. Open up to 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. And you'll remember as you're opening up that this is the passage that Paul is speaking to people, and he's really kind of talking about his trials and what's happened to him. And so I want to ask you a big question today. Why was Paul able to withstand some of the things we're going to see about in the Scripture? Anyone have an answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. Because he trusted in him in everything that he did. And we're going to see. He had a pretty tough go of it. But he trusted 100% in Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do. We think we're going through trials and tribulations. It was nothing compared to what Paul went through. Let's look at the scriptures. His ministry was a supernatural ministry. And you know what? I believe that you could have a supernatural ministry. If you claim the promises, you know. If you take and give everything to the Lord and lay it at the foot of the cross. You know, we say he's our Lord and Savior. I think he's our Savior. He's only our Lord when we can lay everything. Not these little secret things that we think we know better. Here's the scripture. We then as workers together with him beseech you. Strong. He's pleading with him. You also that receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, he gave us the grace. He doesn't want us to use it in vain. He gave it for a purpose. And the second verse, he said, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. And here's what that means, that word succor. To give, to aid, to support, relieve, furtherance, to sustenance, assistance, relief from support, nourishment, provision, your daily bread. He's your all in all. That's what that means. And you can depend on him. He's trustworthy. He'll do what you can't do in your life. Lord knows I can't preach, but with his help I can. So hold on to that. And it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you're here today and you have to get things right with the Lord, don't let your pride stand in the way. The big I. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I've walked forward so many times, you probably think I have a real bad life. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I yield to him. And I pray that today you would do that. If you need to know Jesus Christ for the first time, you know, 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And let me tell you, folks, that's what gives you amazing love, amazing grace, amazing power, and amazing abundance. That's the overflowing in a believer's life. When you say, you know, it's a great feeling to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'll follow you. You take care of it. That's the kind of belief that we're talking about. That's the kind of belief that Paul is talking about. Third verse, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You wouldn't want our ministry to be blamed, would you? Would we claim the name of Jesus Christ and have our ministry blamed because we're doing things that aren't biblical? Perish the thought. Fourth verse, but in all things, and if you have your pencil, underline that. In all things, not half things, not quarter things, in all things. Approving ourselves as ministers of God. See, that's what we are. We're priests. Once we become born again, through 3:16, we're priests. And we're allowed to go out and to share. That's our assignment. It's not allowed. That's what he calls us to do. He wants us to go out and tell the world why the abundance and the joy that you have in your life. But it's pretty difficult when there's not much there. But he can give it to you. Now listen to Paul's reflections here. In the fifth verse it said, now this is, how he did this is beyond my human comprehension. Listen to this. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting. But you know something interesting about God's Word? And maybe I'm a little strange, but I see He never has asked me to do anything that He hasn't given me the answers right here. I call them the how-tos. Let's look at the sixth verse. This is the how-tos. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfended, by the word of truth, by the power of God. We are somebody, folks. Don't let Satan tell you we're nothing. Don't let them tell you we're the weirdo rights. We have eternal life. Be proud of it. Praise Him for it. Glorify His name for it. Don't be ashamed of it. The armor and the righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and by dishonor. You know, he can do some marvelous things. Even through dishonor, He can be glorified. By evil report, by good report. As deceivers and yet not true. Now, here's another thing. There's a lot of paradoxes in God's Word. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed? Ninth verse says, as unknown and yet well known. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and beholding we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, there are some folks that lost loved ones here in the last couple months. And I thought about that. As sorrowful and yet rejoicing. What a paradox. In sorrow, we can rejoice. He'll make a way. He told us He'll never give us more than we can take, or what we can shoulder. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. If you've named the name of Jesus Christ, you possess everything there is to do, to know, and to live the Christian life with power. You have it. And I searched the Scriptures thinking about that in a few more how-tos. We need to know how-tos. Let me read a few verses for you. Trust in the Lord. Now, we all know this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And in all things your ways acknowledge Him, and we will make your paths straight. If you came here today and your path is a little off center and it's a little crooked, He can make it straight. And He wants to. That's why He tells us to assemble with the saints. He wants to change your lives. He wants to make you vessels that can glorify Him. And we all get off the paths. And that's why we like to have you come here. We like to have fellowship. We like to have discipleship. We all need help. We all need help. Nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32, 17, 26, and 27. Our sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens. You have made the earth by Your great power, Your outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for You. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And you're going to hear me say that a lot. You know what? People say practice makes perfect. No. Practice makes permanent. So when you stay away from God's desk, like that cat did in the beach, he couldn't answer the question because he wasn't at his desk. We can't answer the question when we get away from Jesus Christ's desk. Right? So that wasn't as silly as you think. Okay, the Lord is the believer's light and salvation. Psalms 27:8. My heart says to You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. That's the answer. Why do we struggle so with that? And I don't want to be preachy, but why do we struggle with that? It's simple. We're making neurosurgery out of this thing. Seek Him, and you'll find Him. Obey Him, and He'll do wonderful things in your life. That's His program, not mine. That's His program. The Lord is a believer's refuge and strength. He's all. But God can. You can't, but God can. I can't preach, but God can help me preach. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's supernatural. It's supernatural what he can do in a believer's life. So if he's a refuge and strength, Psalms 91:1-2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and rests in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust?" Now, is there any part of that you don't understand? It's very clear. We make it hazy. God's purposes prevail. Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans in a man's heart," listen to this now, "but it is Lord's purpose that prevails." Are there little secret things that you have in your life? I used to have a lot of them. I still have more than I need. Where you want to do it, but God may not want you to do it. Let me give you the rule. You've got to give up that to go up. You got to give it up to go up. Simple. And I've had it, and I know you have. A person's steps are directed by God. Proverbs 20:24. "A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own ways?" That's funny, isn't it? We try to understand. You know, I laugh when I look at these. I'm a political junkie. And I listen to all these programs, and you got the left and you got the right, and everybody disagrees and everybody's talking over each other. We don't understand anything. God has to make it clear in our minds and our hearts that we can understand His Word. When you read the Bible, you need to pray about it. You need to pray that He would enlighten your mind and your heart and your soul, and He will. Jesus rebuked Peter for his little faith. You remember that in Matthew 14:23-31, Jesus walked on a water, and then old Peter, and I kind of consider myself a Peter kind of guy, but you remember the story. He started to walk, and then in 14:31, this is what happened. "Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt?" Do you doubt that today that God can change anything in your life? Well, don't, because He can. He can make a song where there's discord. He can change whatever problem you've come here with today. And there will be an invitation at the end of this service. And it's up to you to make whatever you need to do with Jesus Christ. You know what? I think we all could be up front. If we're honest, God is faithful. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. I can't say what I usually say because my wife told me not to, but it's true. Thank God. I thank Him every morning for life, health, and breath, because you've seen a miracle today. You're here. Hello? Because if He ordained you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be. So that's a praise. We need to praise Him every day. Thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to do something for you and not for me. Right? Doesn't that make sense? God is always faithful. Oh boy, is He ever faithful. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is Thy unfailing love. Jim, is that true? Jim lost his wife, but he still can hold on to what God can do in his life. And it's not easy. You need to pray for Jim, and you need to pray for those who lose mates. You need to pray consistently for our church here. We're going to grow. We've got a building program. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. We want to see well Christians in this place. And the last one, why are you downcast? Hope in God. Psalms 42:5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed with me? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt disturbed with God? On dangerous ground. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And now if you'll turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 28. We'll be finished in a little bit here. The great, great six verses. Wonderful six verses. And there are things that we can do and inculcate into our lives and we'll be better for it and be better servants. So if you have 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 28, the whole thing talks about you can count on God's constant help. If he were like us, you couldn't, because we're not very constant. But he is always constant. Realizing that the life, a Christian life, cannot be served in our own strength, but through God's power it can be. You see, we go right back to the power. Amazing power. So, verse 23, 5:23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Didn't say half. And as you know, the word sanctify means to set apart. When he saves us, we're set apart from the world and we're destined for the Omega, which is heaven. But it also means, sanctification almost also means bless and consecrate, dedicate, purify, sanitize, cleanse, scrub, disinfect, freshen, filter, purge, anoint, unpollute, to be neat and orderly, to make holy. When he sets us aside, his desire is to make us holy. And only he can do that. And he will, if you want to be obedient to his word. If you want to trust him. It also says in that verse that man is a triune being. He's a body, he's a soul and mind, and he's a spirit. That passage says, sanctify wholly everything. Don't miss anything. Okay? And we are to become, once he starts working that supernatural thing in our lives, we should become mature Christians, not babes in Christ. You know, he called us for that reason. I don't know why. I would have done it with a thousand angels. But he's called us to be spreaders and sharers of the gospel. And he doesn't want us to be babies. He wants us to grow. Now, the only way I know how to do that is by using his word, staying in it, and claiming it. Okay? The second verse, or second principle, is verse 24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Wow. Wow. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. What a wonderful promise, isn't it? All we have to be is obedient. He'll do the rest. That's all we have to do is be obedient. You can depend on God 100%, but God can and will and wants to, but only if we yield ourselves to him. This verse takes us back to God's faithfulness. If God can save you, he can also help you be sanctified and blameless. You see, we're supposed to be blameless. Boy, I don't know if I can reach up to that blameless title, but it's possible through him. He is faithful, and if you let him and ask him, he will do it. That's the key. He really can do it. It's a major point. He and he alone can do it. You know, a lot of people go to hell because they think they're going to work their way into heaven. No way. It's only when you accept him as Lord and Savior that you'll get to heaven. There are a lot of people that have good plans and good desires, and they go out and they knock on doors and they're going to work their way into heaven. Listen, he says our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's a gift that he gives us. Third verse. Pray, brethren, pray for us. And what they were talking about there is that really to pray for your pastors and your missionaries. Are you doing that? Are you praying for your pastors? Are you praying for your missionaries? Are you praying for the pastors that are up in the conference right now? He charged us to do that. This is an order. God would discipline them if they disobeyed. If I read that right, then it says if I disobey, I could have some discipline coming in my life. And I think sometimes that's what we see in our lives and we start to blame God. Don't blame them. It's just like your children. You have children that do things that aren't right. What do? You? God does the same thing. Because he's righteous, and how much more he has to do it? Because he is God. Because he is pure. Because he is righteous. He will get our attention. But he wants to express his love to his people. And so do I. Boy, I hope that I'm not coming across here like I've got all the answers, because I don't. But I tell you one thing that I have done and I will continue to do by the grace of God. I'll believe him for everything in my life. And that brings joy and abundance. Anyone who knows me knows that that's true. Fifth verse, 5:27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. And I did a little study on that. It was this was a Christian letter that Paul had written, and he couldn't get it out quick enough, so he said he wanted to make it public, so he did it at a public forum so everybody could hear it. But the reason he wanted to make sure that everyone heard it, that had the opportunity to hear this message, because he wanted to offer needed encouragement. And I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you today. Trust in the Lord. That's where the answers come from. And I encourage you to do that. He is more than capable. I don't care what you came here with today, he is more than capable to change it. Sixth and closing verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Never leaves. You know, I often thought that he's up there drawing a picture of Ron Batroff. And he wants to draw a real sweet picture, and I keep jumping off the board. Hard to draw. So when you jump off God's word, and you don't think it's adequate or sufficient for your life, that's the start of trouble. It also says that I pray for the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and may be with you, my beloved. See, Paul loved his people. And boy, oh boy, if I could tell you one thing that you may believe, I love you. I love you. Wally, you know that. Bill, you know that. Ted, you know that. Jeanette, you know that. Jimmy, you know that. Young ones, Anna, you know that. I want to tell you something I got to share. My friend Anna. This is where Christianity really comes down, where the rubber hits the road. Yesterday I had just finished mowing the lawn and I was hot as Cuda Brown. And I came in and my little light was blinking on my machine. And Anna told me, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Mr. Ron. I prayed all week. Isn't that neat? Thank you, Anna. Keep on praying. I need it. So, we got to close. And in all Paul's benedictions, it went something like this. God's grace in each of his benedictions. He always brought out the grace of God that makes it possible. It was Paul's delight to tell of the grace of God. It is my delight to share the grace of God with you. The grace of God is always with you, his children. Now, in the very beginning of the service, you remember I said that there's three types of people here today, biblical types. Let me go over them again. One who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and is following and is filled with joy and abundance. One that's accepted him, but he's gotten a little off target. And someone that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Boy, it's the happiest day of my life. 25 years ago in a church in Montgomery, I walked forward and he changed my life. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."